To hear even more anytime,
find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
New York, Paris, Los Angeles, Chicago, Tokyo, and Wausau. This is the Wausau Business Show with your hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Number 46,
46
of the Wausau Business Show. We are open for business.
We've almost caught up to the number of presidents there are, aren't we, in 47?
Speaking of politics, Doug Dinney. We'll get to that later.
We usually try to get to politics later or never.
I don't think this has anything to do with politics, but thank you to the Rotary Club for inviting us in to speak. That was 7 a.m. last Thursday that they invited us in to talk about the Wausau Business Show, why we do the Wausau Business Show, to kind of get the word out about Wausau, obviously.
Right.
And the Friend of a Friend competition. Because we need to get people to Wausau, and we need everybody to try to work on that. And so they invited us in, and I said, well, what do you guys rotate?
The right.
Rotary Club.
Yeah, what does that mean?
And they're like, well, we started in Chicago, and when we started 100-plus years ago, we would rotate between offices or homes, and the business people that were in the Rotary Club would rotate, and then it was called the Rotary Club.
So they like host it, and they'd rotate the hosting situation?
That's right.
All right, that makes sense.
But Paul ditched me, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Supposed to be there at 7 a.m. I covered for you, Paul.
Thank you.
But what's your excuse? Because I just said, well, oh, yeah, Paul, he had a last minute thing with his kids come up. He won't be able to make it. But what's the real excuse?
Well, that's about right, actually.
Old pal.
My wife had a...
Is it right?
And I had to get the kids to school.
I held the bag. I kept the train on the tracks.
And I do regret missing out on it. I heard you ran into Mrs. Geiger.
Mrs. Geiger was there. Todd Hagedorn from Wiffley. I think he runs the Wiffley office here.
Yeah.
We had Tammy from the Children's Museum was there.
Oh, man.
They had a great event last night, Fire and Ice. But you stood us all up, Paul.
I did. I apologize. So, I'll be at the next one. I promise that.
On the record, though, the excuse is what?
Kids.
Okay. Yeah, because you can't use COVID anymore.
No, it wasn't COVID. It was I had to get the kids to school.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't know that was going to happen a couple days earlier when they invited us.
Well, I might have forgotten.
To go to school. Oh, okay. My journalism degree is getting to the bottom of this, finally. Ask why several times.
I was supposed to remember that that was my day to take the kids to school, okay. But I had forgotten until 6:30 in the morning.
I'm not a grudge holder.
Okay, fine.
Or am I?
Uh-oh. I guess I'll find out, Wausau. I'll let you know.
Yeah. One time I was on the air at Z104 in Madison, and the morning guy there was Mark Anthony, Mark and Vicky in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Big morning show there.
The number one morning show back in the 90s. And he took over for Johnny Danger. But I was like,
I love those radio names, by the way.
I was 17 or 18 years old, and he calls me in a frenzy on the hotline, what they call the hotline. If you're on the radio, there's the request line, and then there's the hotline. And at the time, the people were calling for Chumbawamba Tub Thumping.
Oh, I get knocked down and I get up again. That's a good request.
Never going to keep me down. But you didn't necessarily need to answer the request line. They liked you to answer the request line.
I sometimes need to hear Chumbawamba, by the way. Yeah. That might be a need.
You needed to answer the hotline if it called. That
right.
was a direct line into the studio. And so Mark Anthony calls and he's in a frenzy and he goes, I'm on my way. It was May of like 97 or 98. And he goes, I'm on my way to give the commencement speech at Sun Prairie High School or some high school.
Right.
And I totally forgot that I had to do it. And it's like he's 15 minutes late and he's like 20 minutes away. So he's going to be 45 minutes late for giving the commencement address at the high school.
Yeah.
And he goes, you got to let me on the air immediately. Like, well, do you want me to cut off the Chumbawamba?
Yeah, right. We're in the middle of a song, sir.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, just get me on. I'm like, all right. Continuous hit, Z104. It's Mark Anthony's on the phone. Hello, Mark. He's like, Matt. Madison. Hello. I just have to let you know that my car has broken down. I have a flat tire. I'm getting it fixed. I called AAA, and I'm on my way to Sun Prairie High School to give the commencement address. And I wish I would have called him out on it.
Like, do you have to do that over the airwaves?
You were asleep 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, we
were
right.
Off the air.
That's hilarious.
Total.
I need...
Fellow citizens of Madison, okay. I need to let you know over the airwaves I'm running late. I have a good excuse.
Okay. Yeah, you should.
That's ridiculous.
Just use a bullhorn next time, Mark.
Right. That's
but
funny.
You didn't have any really cover for you. I covered for a radio personality. It's the second time in my career that I covered for a radio passenger. Yeah. It's you and Mark Anthony.
I'm in good company. He's a legend, after all.
Yeah, a bald legend.
Yeah.
He was on the air in Washington, D.C. before he moved to Madison. Anyway,
there you go.
To commemorate the Academy Awards this weekend, we have a drama-filled show.
Yeah.
Who's coming up, Paul?
We got Hollywood actor Patrick Phelan coming up.
Star of Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Well, he's not a star, but he's in it.
He's an up-and-coming star. How about that?
With Timothée Chalamet.
Now that's a star.
Hey. Okay. Now we've got some real drama, Paul.
The
you
good
ready?
Stuff. Yeah, let's
it's
go.
It's Academy Award-winning weekend.
Yep.
So City Pages editor B.C. Kowalski joins us with some drama. B.C.
Hey.
B.C. Kowalski.
Hey.
B.C.
I'm here.
Yeah.
We're back in the studio.
So you have a big announcement about the Wausau City Pages. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Thursday was my last day at City Pages.
Whoa.
Yeah.
End of an era.
End of an era.
That's it?
That's it.
Is it shutting down?
Nope.
It's just going on without you.
This is going on without me, and I'm going to be, I am now the founder of the Wausonian.
Well,
okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right. Congratulations. You know, you have founded the Wausonian, and it's been in existence for a couple of years already, but now you're going full-time in this.
Full-time on it, yep.
Because it kind of started as a side hustle, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a side project. I didn't like the direction that City Pages was going.
Putting it out there. Okay.
Yeah, after Tammy left the new company, I don't think they had the same quality in mind. I think they starved it of resources. And
thanks.
I didn't like the way it was going. I started something else and tried it out. And people have supported it. I think what it's showing me is that people will support real journalism.
Now, this has historically been a subscription-based, but a freemium kind of deal. So you enter as a free subscriber, and then you can upgrade to the premium level. Is that how the Wausonian works?
That's right. So anyone can get a free subscription. You can get the weekly Wausonian sent to your inbox every Thursday morning. And then there's other stories that we write besides that, longer in-depth features and pieces. And I played with the formula a lot. I still haven't entirely settled on a good formula, but I'd say about half, maybe a little more than half, are behind the paywall.
All right. And what's the subscription a month, real quick?
So right now it's $6 a month or $60 a year.
And that supports your career.
That's right. And I have some very generous sponsors. Thanks so much for West Sider and The Garage and Downtown Grocery for supporting me.
All friends of ours. Yeah. Companies. Great businesses. Yeah. So let's get into this drama. It's Academy Award Oscar season here this weekend. And what better drama than what you brought up about the City Pages? But you guys just didn't see eye to eye or what?
Yeah, we went before the pandemic. We typically had about 10 to 11 staff, and we went down to about 3.5 with some shared employees across the company.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I was really being supported with the proper amount of resources. And honestly, it really, especially with the three large magazines that I also did almost single-handedly, it's
a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And I guess it bothered me because I always felt like I had to cut corners just to keep up. And
yeah. And it sacrificed the product, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And that's not how I like to operate.
Yeah.
I like to strive for excellence. And so I've dedicated the Wausonian to that endeavor. And, you know, I worked on it on nights and weekends, and I've rarely had a day off in the last 4 years.
Are you taking a pay cut to jump off the deep end of the pool here? Or?
Well, yes, of course.
In the short term?
Of course, because, I mean, I had both incomes.
Yeah, yeah.
I also have a mildly successful YouTube channel that also has some.
Oh, a YouTuber.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So you're obviously taking a pay cut, but I mean, apples to apples, is the Wausonian on pace to surpass your salary from the City Pages, if you don't mind me asking?
I think one day that will be the case.
Okay. Well, we hope for that day to come soon. So were you ultimately the only reporter then for City Pages in Wausau? Because there used to be a few reporters in Wausau covering
I mean, when I started, I was one of two reporters, and we had a number of freelancers that worked for us also. And then Tammy took care of a lot of the editorial stuff.
And she founded the paper and then sold it a few years back, right? Is that how that worked?
That's right. She founded it in 1993. Don't kill me, Tammy, if I got the date wrong.
Around then. Great year.
And I mean, she, I feel like I'm kind of following in her footsteps some way, because she saw a need that was missing in the arts and entertainment sector.
Yeah.
And that's how, that's why she founded it. And, you know, she kind of did the same thing. She quit her job, but she built up a base of support before she did so.
Yeah.
And founded the City Pages. And I feel like I did sort of the same thing with the Wausaunian.
So now, is there any local reporters left for the City Pages at all?
Not right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Jeez.
To give you a sense, I went from 2021 to 2024 without a week off vacation, because there really wasn't anybody to cover me. And that's sort of the situation they're in now.
Are you taking a vacation before the Wausaunian starts full time? Back in the day when I used to like take a job just to move up the corporate ladder, every other year you'd get a different job and you'd get promoted and all this and that. I would try to sneak in a week's vacation.
The obligatory week off.
Yeah, because you're only going to a new job and you get 2 weeks vacation.
Right.
Maybe take a week off.
Sneak a week in there.
Yeah. Are you doing that model or not?
Well, and you can edit this if you need to, but
we don't edit.
Okay, well, I see the Wausaunian as my dream job, so I am balls to the fucking wall.
I'm starting today.
That's cool. I got a meeting for a story just about right after this.
That's super cool.
We're hitting it hard.
Good.
Do you think that the content, obviously, I'm assuming, will like get to the next level? Then, I mean, it's always very, very good, but being able to devote your time 100% to the Wausaunian, I'm assuming you're expecting the quality of the Wausaunian journalism to continue to rise, right?
I think so. I've got Dr. River on writing for me a health column now. I've got Caleb and Emily doing music stuff, kind of covering the music scene in a way that I don't think anybody around here is.
Cool.
And, you know, I certainly will have more time to devote to it, and how I'm going to arrange that is still a little bit up in the air, but
it'll work itself out.
You know, someone asked me how I wanted the Wausaunian to be perceived, and I want it to be like when BC drops something, it's like, oh,
yeah, look how Wausau, that's gonna land like a ton of bricks. Cool. Very cool. So like a lot of investigative journalism then, and insights and things like that, surprising stuff. Is his name France Riveron, or what's his first?
Oh, Fernando.
Fernando. And he owns that hotel in Rib Mountain by the Carmelos. I think he's got a stake in that, I heard, right?
Well, he and a couple other people built the riverfront apartments, the Riverlight.
Oh, yeah.
They were the developers that finally got it done.
He's like a big surgeon or something. Right?
Yeah, retired heart surgeon. Still doing what do they call it? Ad locum, where you go travel around and do surgeries sometimes, but he's basically retired.
Wow. Part time surgeon.
Yeah,
interesting.
He goes in and cleans out the pipes if you need him to. So he'll jump in. Right. Okay. So, well, we've got you, BC. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're rooting for you, buddy.
Appreciate that. Big move for anybody that makes that leap. Can we talk about, like, you know that we don't get political here on the show, but like we wanted to pick your brain about the Doug Dinney story and the like the ballot box that just kind of won't go away. So can we just, like, what exactly did he do? Like, the ballot box was not outside City Hall, because you broke it. You broke the story nationally.
The only reason that the national news
knows about the story is because of BC's work. So the ballot box was not outside City Hall on whatever Monday, and then Tuesday it was, let's say, and they were just in the process of putting the decals out on it, from what I understand, or something
Should I back up and
go ahead, fill us in? What's going on?
So what happened apparently is this ballot box was delivered, I believe, maybe on like Friday afternoon or something or whatever. So it was sitting there over the weekend.
Probably $100,000 ballot box.
Yeah, and it was going to be installed by city workers on Monday, apparently.
Right.
But Doug Dinney came on a Sunday, got his dolly, put his
he had the helmet on.
Great Halloween costume, by the way.
Yeah.
And
so he did that on a Sunday.
On a Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got word about it. I know other outlets were working on it, and I was like, I need to get this one first.
Yeah.
Get it. So, and when I asked, he confirmed it. You know, he sent me the photo. So
the famous photo.
Yeah. The photo. And I'd gotten it from other sources as well, but But yeah, then things kind of blew up from there, and it's been a source of contention ever since.
What was his rationale? Like, what's his side of the story?
Bolted it down or something?
Yeah, it's a steel man. His side, I think he said it was unsecured. He felt like it should have been secured. It shouldn't have been just sitting out there, so he wheeled it into his office.
Dramatically.
Right, yeah. And then it stayed there for, I believe, about a week before he allowed it to be out. So,
and did the city council say, hey, on Monday or on Friday, we're going to put this, this is when we, you know, I guess, demand that it goes in, that it is installed outside of City Hall on this Friday? Or did they not put like a deadline on when it was supposed to be there, or did they?
I don't think the city council had anything to do with it. I believe it's the city clerk's purview. And okay. she had planned to have it installed on that Monday. And then she was kind of quiet at first. And then she kind of spoke up and put out a statement that she felt the box shouldn't have been removed, and that she was going to be filing a complaint. I believe she went to the chain of events, I believe, is that she went to the district attorney. The district attorney turned it over to Portage County to investigate because, you know, you want to kind of get that out of the jurisdiction, so to speak.
Okay.
So
no objectivity, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Pretty common. And then I guess the DOJ ended up picking up the case.
The Department of Justice, the Federales got involved.
Federales, yeah.
I guess the state of Raleigh's.
Right, fair.
And then they come in and like they raided his house at one point, did they not?
House and office at City Hall.
And I was going to say they stole his cell phone, but they didn't steal.
They confiscated it.
I believe I broke that story too. Pretty sure, because we asked, I think Meg Ellison might have asked at a press conference that he held about the city budget.
Okay.
She asked about it, but I think I was the one who reported on it. So
said the feds went in and took his confiscated.
Actually, I take it back. There was a right wing news site that might have reported it first, actually. So I can't take credit for that. But the first one locally, at least. So.
Yeah. And did they find anything on his cell phone? Text messages that said, I'm
going to steal that box.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to take that box and screw the voters.
First degree box stealing.
Yeah.
If you can get that out of the DOJ, you're a better journalist than me.
Yeah, okay.
they tend to lock that stuff pretty tight.
Yeah.
A little tighter than the box was locked down, I guess, ironically. Yeah. So then the issue wasn't that he was supposed, because I guess like, if you're the mayor and the ballot box wasn't secure, you can say, okay, this was in the process of being installed. It wasn't secured. I'm going to take it into the secure building. But then the issue becomes like, why did you take it into your office and lock it in your office where people couldn't?
Yeah. What's the real issue here?
You know,
And I guess leave it there for a week. So,
right.
Yeah. I guess the steel man, the other side, they would say, okay, fine. You took the ballot box inside, but on Monday morning, why didn't you let city staff install it
properly?
Bolt it down to the ground. So what's his rationale there? Has he said?
I don't think he's given a rationale beyond
Paul,
that,
you want to get him on the horn? I think that's the question.
Yeah, let's call Mayor Doug Denny.
Do you think he would pick up if it, we better not put him on the spot.
It'd be interesting. You should try it.
Should I give him a call?
Well, shoot him a text.
All right.
Hey, Doug, do you have a comment, quick comment on the ballot box story? Are there two lawsuits going on with it right now? It seems like
a citizen's lawsuit and then a government lawsuit.
Well, I don't think there are lawsuits. So there's a state investigation.
Okay.
And then there was a separate ethics complaint filed in January.
And is it all around whether or not he was premeditated in trying to keep the voters away from that box? Or what is the real question?
I believe they're saying that he exceeded his authority, so it's misconduct by a public official is what the allegation is.
Okay, because it seems like I haven't been following every single detail of the timeline, but it seems like, how you doing, Paul? Did he text back yet?
Not yet.
Doug, okay.
Waiting. on the line.
It just seems from the outside looking in, because I'm not super into the every little detail of the timeline. That's what we're trying to figure out here, but it seems like it got blown really far out of proportion because obviously it was a heated political environment and still is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it blown out of proportion or is this like a real thing? Because people could still vote, right, BC?
Yes.
And they just had to walk into the clerk's office to drop off their absentee ballot instead of...
Less convenient, maybe?
It was less convenient. Is that the... I'm just trying to get to the...
I mean, I think that's...
Brass tacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair to say. I think the other side would probably say that it wasn't really his authority to...
Get involved at
to
all.
To deal with the ballot box at all, or at least if he had... I think it probably wouldn't have blown up as much had he just simply like said, okay, now it's Monday. You can install it and
yeah.
It down. So yeah, I don't know what the rationale for that is really.
I wonder if he was like trying to be dramatic, flamboyant about it, or if he just like was naive and he's like, oh, I just didn't know. Because just for people that haven't been to the city hall before, you have to actually put in a little bit of effort to get that big ballot box upstairs because Doug's office, the mayor's office, is on the second floor. So you have to.
I wish we had footage of him doing that.
Did he take it up the steps? Step by step in the dolly.
Is there an elevator used?
Or did he use the lazy man's way and take the elevator? Because I'm curious about the effort it took to get that into the office. And then when it was in his office, was it really locked in the office? Do you know?
Well, I mean, that's a good question because I don't think we really confirmed until much later that it was in his office.
Oh.
I heard that, but I didn't see anything official until later. I think he did confirm that he had put it in his office at one point.
Fascinating. Well, anything back from the mayor? Paul.
Cricket so far.
Nothing.
Unfortunately,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't respond back to you under this circumstance either.
I don't know.
Well, I know that you're covering it ongoing. Any other big stories that you can tease for us?
There's a really interesting situation in the Village of Maine with their fire department. And I came across it because people were saying, hey, what's going on with the fire department? Like everyone quit or something. And I'm like, okay. Jeez. So it turns out there was this incident where an assistant fire chief was letting someone fill their scuba gear with the machine. And then they broke the machine.
Okay.
And then.
Like their tanks?
Yeah. Like the air tank. They were letting them use the air compressor to fill their scuba tanks, which apparently is something that happens at smaller fire departments, and then they give a little donation to the fire department. Something I was aware of, but apparently it's a thing, I guess. And the guy, they felt the board was like too harsh in their punishment of him. So like I think like six people quit, including the fire chief.
So you're getting to the bottom of all those details.
Yeah, and most recently, like whoever replaced him as fire chief has now also resigned.
Ooh,
I just got scuba the resignation. Gate. Scuba gate.
Well, these
I'm stealing that.
You own it.
Hitting
PC.
Stories. This is coming up in the Wausonian, and you can check out the Wausonian at thewausonian.com.
That's right.
It's BC Kowalski. Best of luck to you in the future
you.
As you depart dramatically the Wausau City pages. And good luck to you, BC. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
BC.
BC
Kowalski, everybody. You know that the Wausau Daily Herald is out with their best fish fry survey, right, Paul? Hundreds of Wausonians answered the survey, and they said, here's the fish fries that we like, and they stack ranked them.
Oh, okay, fun. I haven't seen the results yet.
Oh, you're an avid Wausau Daily Herald reader, Paul.
Well, I'm a day or two behind,
oh, okay.
To be fair. I haven't seen this one yet, though.
Yeah, do you have any guesses?
Yeah, there's so many to choose from fish fries. I love Loading Zone.
Okay.
I would put Loading Zone in the top three for sure.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Pinewood Supper Club.
Ooh, okay, out in Mosinee.
Yeah,
all right.
I like that one.
I don't know if that is allowed to make the cut.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Mosley, but that's fair.
Kind of in the area.
Okay. Right.
It got to go with Carmelo's. It's a little different, but I love it.
Yeah.
Those are my top three.
I love Carmelo's. Okay, you want the results?
Yeah, yeah. What are the actual results? How close did I get?
Pull them up here. I'm going to look to the
sense of what you're really getting in there with that.
Index finger and my middle finger. And I'm
what he's doing is he's turning pages. He's grabbing them, and he needs the lubrication on the fingers.
Yeah.
You should get one of those thimble things.
One of those old plastic things that the secretaries used to use. What are those called?
They were on every secretary's desk.
Yeah, whatever happened to those?
I don't know.
People still use paper every once in a while.
The old page turners.
Okay, here we go. So at third place, I'll start at fourth.
This is
the Loading Zone. Is that four?
All right. So I was close on that one.
I haven't been there in a while. You were there just recently, right?
Yeah, I've been there many times.
Fourth place. You brought your kids there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, pretty good with the kids?
Yeah, good place. Arcade games and stuff while you wait for your table. They got an interesting situation where you order first and you're seated only when your food is ready.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
How long did it take you to get a table?
I mean, it's like an hour on a Friday night.
And what time did you get there?
Probably right at 5.
Oh, all right. I was thinking about maybe bringing the kids there tonight. So.
Yeah.
But they have stuff to do for the kids?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably
games,
easier in the summer.
Table.
You can let them run around outside.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the fourth.
Okay, good call.
Third, kind of surprising. The Hiawatha Sports Bar.
Oh, okay. Well, I think of that kind of back in the day. I know the Jam Goshens.
Yeah, when they sold
were
it.
A big part of that. But
glad to see it's still going strong.
Yeah, good, good.
Got to check that one out. All right. Haven't been to the new Hiawatha since the new owners. I've been there just for beers, but not for the fish fry. So I got to check that out.
Check that out.
Okay, in second place, this one was not on your list, and it's a surprise.
Go ahead.
The Castle Bar and Grill.
The Castle Bar? I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of that either. It's the town of Castle. So that means, I guess, the Pinewood Supper Club could have been in here if it's they're doing Castle.
Wherever Castle is.
Well, it's still right outside of Marathon City-ish, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Cool.
But all I know about Castle is there's a Catholic church there.
Oh, okay. There's a Catholic church in,
Castle.
In Castle. Okay.
There's a church in Castle. And at number one, the best Wausau Daily Herald. We had over, it looks like hundreds of respondents.
What took the top spot?
The
drum roll. Oh, please.
Let me re-lubricate.
Okay.
There we go. All right. Here we go. It's on the next page.
Oh, boy.
Well, if you would give me one of those thimbles.
I know. I'll work on it.
Trails End.
Okay.
Trails End.
I missed that one.
Harry Colcord's favorite place.
Yeah, good stomping grounds for Harry.
Great place to go on a snowmobile, which the snowmobile trails were open, and then they were closed.
I think they were open for 7 days.
Okay, yeah. Real quick season. Yeah. Maybe it'll come back. But Trails End, also a good place to pontoon. So that was number one. Number one.
I've never had the fish fry there.
Oh, it's very good.
Okay.
Very good. You're going to wait for an hour and a half. Fine. Well, that's the duty you pay.
Part of the deal, kind
of. That's part of the deal. They want you to have those old fashions. But
right.
Trails End, the iconic Trails End. I wonder how many people from Illinois that are coming up to ski at Granite Peak go to Trails End for fish fry.
I feel like it's kind of a local secret in
a
way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
And the Gridiron Garments installation is going on at the Leocky Woodson Art Museum, which is cool. Remember when we were over there and we talked to Matt Foss and he talked about putting this together?
Yeah, I was really excited for it.
Yeah, because the draft is coming to Green Bay. I think that's in March in a few weeks.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense timing-wise.
The NFL's historical garments are on display at the Leocky Woodson Art Museum starting March 1st to June 1st, so that'll be cool. And all the uniforms from every NFL team in the United States are done right here in Wisconsin in Ripon.
Yeah, Ripon. In Wisconsin.
Speaking of ripping good times, we were out in Brooklyn last week.
That felt cool.
We basically went door to door on behalf of Wausau to see. We did some consumer research.
And put ourselves out there a little bit.
How many Brooklynites knew about Wausau? We didn't want to say Wausau, Wisconsin. Do you know about Wausau, Wisconsin? We wanted to say, do you know about Wausau? And a lot of them thought it was the Polish city, Warsaw. So we had to make that distinction.
Not Warsaw, Poland, folks.
Many of them didn't know. And, except one of them. The one guy who was a little bit older than us remembered the 60 Minutes commercial about Wausau Insurance.
Oh, yeah. His name was Reg. He was a cool dude.
Reg. Very dapper dresser.
Very stylish.
But I thought, you know, we're trying to always be at Wausau's service here at the Wausau Business Show. Oh, Mayor Denny's calling. Yes, Mayor Denny.
Hello, Mayor Denny.
Mayor Denny.
How are you doing?
Good. We were just recording. Are you there?
I am. I apologize. I was in a couple of quick meetings, and I'm heading over to the swearing-in ceremony at our fire department, so I've got a couple of seconds here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just wanted, you know, B.C. Kowalski was in here, and we got to talking about this dumb ballot box situation, and where do we stand on that these days? Are you doing all right?
Well, I'm looking at, I've got on the DOJ side of it, I'm supposed to be having a court hearing on potentially Monday. And to get my property back, which, by the way, I still don't have back, going on 6 months.
Oh.
They promised it the next day or the day after, but they said it wouldn't go through the weekend. And here we are 6 months later.
Which includes the cell phone, your old cell phone?
My cell phone, my wife's cell phone, and my laptop. This is coming from the lead investigator, the right-hand man to Josh Kolb, Mary Van Schoik. I guess she just flat out lied to me that this would all be managed pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hearing on Monday, as I understand it. It's a Lane Lake County thing.
Are you allowed to talk about it at all, or is it kind of like...
Sure.
Yeah?
I can talk about it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, we won't keep you long because we know you're on the way to that swearing in. Thank them for their service, if you could. But we were curious, you know, how did you actually get the box up to your office? Did you have to haul it up there? Because we know that your office is on the second floor.
Did you take the stairs?
Did you take the stairs or an elevator?
I will. It's not very heavy. I just put it on that little dolly.
Yeah.
And wheeled it up. I had my wife open the door, took the picture. I took the picture in part. It was kind of an inside joke. I wasn't intending necessarily to put that to the four winds. Kowalski got a hold of it because Rasmussen the very next morning leaked it to him.
Oh.
Well, leaked the information and then leaked the picture because I sent. I don't want to get into that story necessarily right now.
Okay.
I put it. I wheeled it in, put it on the elevator, and wheeled it to my office.
Okay, so you didn't haul the dolly up the steps. Okay, yeah, we were worried about that.
The logistics of that.
So was it actually locked in your office, Mayor?
No.
Okay. No.
It was when I leave from my office from work every day, going home at night, I lock my office. But during the day when I'm there, no, the office is always open. Always open.
And what
my
was
door? I usually have my door wide open when I'm there.
So what is the argument then? Did they think that you were going to take over the world and not ever let anybody vote ever again? Or what's the actual problem?
Well, I think the part that people are missing is that I had an agreement with the clerk when I brought it in. My intention was to clean those things up with the clerk. So on that Monday, B.C. Kowalski indicated that somebody leaked to him that I had moved the box to my office. And I said, and I can't quote it directly, I think I said, the clerk is aware of the issues and we're working through them or something to that effect. I've got it in my office or it's secured in the building or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And and I told the same thing to Rasmussen, who was harassing me, that I was simply looking to get it secured, get better lighting, get better cameras, and then the labeling. Because the labeling, you know, they didn't put that fresh wrap on it to make it a co-mingled, multi-use payment ballot slash.
Oh, because it's not just a voting box. It's also for payments.
Payments, you can put your tax payments, your water bill, your letters to Santa, you can put correspondence to the anything you want to, for anyone in City Hall and ballots.
Yeah, who cares if the ballots get stolen? You got to get those payments, those city payments.
And the letters to Santa, for God's sakes.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't want to make too much light of it, but
right.
I mean, it, to me, I was trying to make a point with the clerk to clean these things up, take it to council and get approval on the plan. I absolutely never asked her to write a resolution to ban it or to, and that was in that complaint. Absolutely 100% false. And in fact, I even sent her a letter and said, please craft it the way you would like it to for approval from the council that you will be putting it out and it's properly secured. And I can share that email. In fact, I was up till midnight just combing through my emails. And it really dawned on me that, wow, this thing got blown out of proportion starting Monday. I was in the office at 7 the next morning to make sure everybody knew it wasn't stolen. And then suddenly certain alders were interfering with my ability to do my job and then leaked the now famous photo.
Yeah. Well, it made a great Halloween costume, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you.
That was awesome. But, you know, I mean, when it's just the picture out of context, who wouldn't think, holy cow, that he did that? But they don't have the background. They don't have the context. And
Well,
my intention was to protect and minimize collateral damage. And I don't know if that's even possible at this point.
Yeah. Protect. You said your intention was to protect what?
Collateral damage. I mean, protect staff. You know, if there is a disagreement, a public disagreement between a staff member and myself, I don't think it's fair to most staff members to have to take that heat. So I was hoping to resolve it without having the public news media argument between the clerk and myself.
Yeah. Well, you guys are airing dirty laundry. That's always entertaining for us observers here. But just so we're clear, and then we'll let you go, what was the reason? So you took it away because it wasn't bolted down, and then people say it was in your office for a week, and it should have been back on Monday. What was the what's your response to that?
Well, it could have been back sooner. They had an opportunity to understand what the clerk's plan was to secure it, to okay. bolt it down.
Yeah.
They put the fresh wrap on it late on a fright that Friday afternoon. It was, I walked out there and talked to the wrap guy.
Yeah.
He said, oh, they're in a hurry to get this out. So my curiosity was, well, why the heck weren't you doing this in the shop? Cause I thought it was the sign shop guy.
Yeah.
And, lo and behold, they placed it out there and then realized, yeah, we have to rewrap this for payment / whatever we talked about.
Yeah, because we don't want.
It was a hastily put up deal, and it's unfortunate. I was there to make sure it was done in accordance with the best practices that other cities are doing.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, but if I needed to put in my vote, my absentee ballot vote, or if I needed to pay a bill, then I would just walk a little further inside the building and drop it right inside, right?
Well, that is correct, but there also was the payment box that was still out there. Mm. We had a dedicated payment box, and that actually was used for voting purposes. So in reality, that week, that option was still there. The clerk publicized that. Now that box has since been removed, but during that week, it was installed, operational.
Okay.
It's publicized that it was available.
And that was secured, right? Down to the ground?
That one was.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Whew, wow. This is, suffice it to say that when the FBI, was it the FBI, the DOJ? Was it the DOJ?
Department of Criminal Investigation, which works for the DOJ.
Did they ring the doorbell and like bring donuts when they came and confiscated your cell phone, or was it more of a...
They were already in my office.
When you got there?
When I came out of a meeting, they ambushed me in my office. Yeah, they photographed everything, and then they snuck into my apartment complex and they did this simultaneously. They had five guys simultaneously come in, snuck in. It's a secure building, and then knocked on the door. My wife was babysitting our 18-month-old grandson, and there she stands with baby in hand and five goons coming in the door.
Was it were the guns drawn?
Guns were not drawn.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. All right. Well, Mayor, thanks for getting back to us. We hopefully have helped clear this up, but what a dramatic.
More to follow. Thanks.
Thanks, Mayor.
Take care. Doug Dinney, everybody.
That was good of him to call in. Yeah. I mean, I think we got a little clarity maybe there and kind of what his purpose was, I think.
Yeah. You know, I wish we could all just get along.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'll look back and this will be water under the bridge or not, but it's unfolding right now, an investigation looming.
It continues to go on, and it's been going on for months and months and months and months and months. It's like, okay.
CNN is covering it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, we'll be right back with Timothy Chalamet's sidekick, Patrick Phelan. It's the Wausau Business Show.
You can go out of town for a week, and they move it around to confuse you. To New York, I was only away for 6 years, and you think I'd arrive from Wisconsin, lots of fresh meat for romance, and woof, it's fun to go back to New York.
Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, home to NFL legends Dave Craig, Jerry Wunsch, Jim Otto, and the man they call the Wonder of Wausau, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch. This is the Wausau Business Show with JV backup quarterbacks Ryan and Paul.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The Wausau Business Show. Said I can't stop.
epicenter of the planet Earth. This is the Wausau Business Show. And ladies and gentlemen, on Academy Award winning weekend, we welcome Patrick Phelan.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey.
Let's keep clapping.
Yeah, yeah. Keep
clapping.
Get used to these claps, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Thank you. DC Everest 2015 grad, Patrick Phelan IV. Hails from Queens, New York right now, but you're zooming in from Madison on tour, right?
Correct. Yep. Madison, Wisconsin, back in the home state.
And the show is Shucked. Is that right? Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Paul, watch your mouth.
I said Shucked.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So anyway, Patrick, tell us about that.
Yeah. It's a Broadway show that's now on tour. It ran in New York for a little under a year back in 2023. And it's basically a show about corn. It's a musical comedy.
Yeah.
But it's a love story. So, you know, at the end of the show, people fall in love and you leave the theater feeling well.
Yeah, it's about a guy from Iowa. Is it kind of based in
Iowa? In quotations.
Yeah.
Basically.
But it doesn't specify Iowa.
Yeah, it doesn't specify.
Hints at it.
The place is called Cobb County, which is it's a fictional place that they created for the show, but in the middle of the cornfields, basically.
So if we get into your bona fides, is it bona fides or bona fides? But one of the coolest things that you've done in your career thus far is that you're in the Oscar nominated Best Movie of the Year, A Complete Unknown, starring Timothy Chalamet, and it's all about Bob Dylan. And you played the guitarist for Johnny Cash in the Bob Dylan movie?
Yeah, I'm part of Johnny Cash's band. It's the movie called A Complete Unknown about Bob Dylan, kind of him arriving in New York and figuring out what he wants to do, like attacking the music industry and getting his name out there. I got to play Luther Perkins in Johnny Cash's band in the movie, which was quite a thing because I had to play guitar instead of the drums.
How in the world did you just audition for this and get the part, or how did that play out?
All word of mouth. So I have one of my like mentors, kind of friends, people that I look up to in New York. He's a big drummer out there. He's done some film work and was on screen. And the agent that hires the musicians that do all the movies and TV shows out in New York and New Jersey reached out to him looking for a person with a specific look because they need someone who could play the instrument and look a certain way. And then he gave her my name and she called me and then basically offered me the drumming part to play W.S. Holland, who is Johnny Cash's drummer. But then when I sent her like headshots and stuff, she was like, oh, you look more like the guitar player. And I was like, okay. And she basically asked if I could play guitar. And I have, you know, I'm self-taught guitar. I used to play bass back in orchestra in the middle school and stuff and in the jazz bands. So, you know, relatively similar. But yeah, I said, I guess I could do it. And then I didn't hear anything for like 2 weeks. And she texted me the next day or like 2 weeks later and was like, all right, here's the music. I'll be in touch. And so I had to run and buy a guitar because I didn't have one in New York at the time.
And were you actually
learning the music?
Were you actually playing the guitar or did you just have to look like you were playing the guitar?
We were playing it, but there was also a track behind us.
Sure.
Funny enough, when I was actually talking to the music supervisor of the movie, I was asking him some guitar questions specifically about Luther Perkins because it's such a unique style. Because I told him, I was like, you know, I don't play much guitar. I'm not a professional guitar player.
Yeah.
And then I think that there was like a, oh, wait, are you able to play? And then I had to send in videos of me actually playing, which was fine. So we did have to play to these tracks that were also playing at the same time.
And how many days were you actually on set?
The big scene that made the movie, I think we shot for like 3 days. And then there's another scene that didn't make it that was shot for a day. So I think the total was like 4 or 5 days, 3 days in like May and then a couple days in June to finish up other stuff that we were in.
That's pretty cool. And this movie went on to get nominated for something like 8 Academy Awards?
I believe so, yes. I'm not good at following along with all the awards and stuff, but I've been told.
I mean, that's a very legitimate movie at that point. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I mean, the people that I got to work with was just, you know, people you see on TV or have seen on Broadway plenty of times. And it's, you know, you get to meet them and just kind of hang out with them.
Yeah, starring Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood these days.
Some would call him a heartthrob.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that I meet now is like, you met him? And I'm like, Yeah, but everybody has a big crush on him, which is quite funny. And he's a good
guy. That's what I hear.
Very good guy.
Yeah. Edward Norton was also well-known, a Hollywood celebrity. And Johnny Cash is played by Boyd Holbrook, which is kind of an unknown.
Yeah, he's done a lot of, he's more in like the Netflix series and stuff he was telling us about, but all just wonderful people and just fun to hang around and, you know, chat with and hear their life stories.
Well, that movie is going to put a lot of people on the map either way, or, you know, maybe you too. If there was an Academy Award for best role as a guitar player, you would have won, I think.
You know, I tried my best to play like Luther Perkins and look like him on stage, because if you ever watch any videos of Johnny Cash's band, he's the most awkward looking dude. He kind of just stands there and stares at the camera and doesn't really move much. And I had to recreate that. So it was very, I had to study up on a character.
Well, you nailed it. I thought it was a great performance.
Did, Paul hasn't seen it yet. But you also worked with Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard in your career already, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And that was on tour, right?
Yeah, it was, I think it was our 20th American Idol anniversary tour. We actually, around this, I would have been on it this time last year. Super cool experience getting to work with both of them and kind of living that artist touring life, living on a tour bus and just going each day playing a show in a different city and then having a couple days off and then right back at it.
So you were the drummer for this tour?
Yes. I played drums for that.
Yeah, for that one, you were the drummer. And your dad is Patrick Phelan the III, right?
Yes.
Good counting skills.
A lot of Patrick's. Well, these Roman numerals always get me. But how, you know, I mean, imagine your dad heads up the musical department for all of the D.C. Everest School District. And I would imagine that growing up, he had a real impact on your career.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like both my parents definitely, just being musicians themselves, you know, they created that little fire inside of me when they started on piano lessons when I was like 4 years old. And then there were times where I didn't want to do it, but they said, you have to stick to it. And to this day, like I look back and I'm very glad that I stuck to that. And, you know, having that skill set and being able to use it in my everyday life, you know, whether I'm playing in a movie or playing with a Broadway show or Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard, like it just, you know, having that skill set that was created early on in my life because of my parents.
When did you know you wanted to do this full time?
That's a good question. When I first went to school, to university, I went to UW-Milwaukee, but I was not doing music. I don't know why. I just guess I wanted to change, or I wanted to do my own thing. And I went down there, and about halfway through that first semester, I was like, something's missing in my life. And then long talks with the parents and with people and friends and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I need to be doing music. So I think, you know, my freshman year of college before I transferred to Eau Claire, I just had a hole in my life that needed to be filled. And I figured it was music.
Yeah, the love of your life, music. You have any other love interests?
Oh.
Ooh, cats. I love cats.
Okay.
Cats, okay.
The musical or the animal?
It's hard
I
to be
do
on
love the musical and also the animal.
Okay, cool.
It's hard to be on the road and have a love life, though, isn't it?
It's difficult, but it's doable. I have a girlfriend back in New York. She lives in Queens as well, but she's in the industry. So, you know, she understands the difference, you know, when you're out on tour, you're out on contracts. That's kind of just how the relationships work. It's a lot of back and forth. But when we're both in New York, it's nice because New York is crazy, but we're able to make time.
Yeah. How many people do you tour with?
This Shocked Company is 42 total crew, cast, band. It's not a huge set. We don't need a lot of people, which is nice. So it's a little bit smaller, but a lower overhead, which is great.
Are there ever any sparks amongst the cast or crew?
We're trying to keep actually, this romance theme.
No, I like it. It's actually crazy that doesn't really exist on this show. Most things I've been on before, there's always something going on.
Drama.
This show, most people are in long-term relationships. A good chunk of people are married. Like everyone is just here doing work, which is kind of great. So then we all just get along with no issues.
How often do you get back home?
Not often enough. I was just home over Christmas. We had a week layoff. My next layoff is in July. And if I go home, I'll be able to go home for a couple of days. I'll probably spend most of the time in New York, just kind of getting reset and seeing people that I got to see and getting myself back in that scene a little bit. But maybe like once a year.
That was a trick question because you assumed I meant Wausau, didn't you?
Great assumption.
I wanted to see if home was Queens or home was Wausau, and home is still Wausau. That's
good
great.
For you.
Home is still Wausau.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up.
What do you
you know, my parents are there, so.
Yeah. What do you miss most about Wausau?
Granite Peak.
Ski or snowboard?
I ski mainly. I started off snowboarding, okay, and then I switched over to skiing. Just growing up there, I was there every weekend, any day after school I could go. Me and my friends, we would always go skiing. Because I guess that's one of my other loves is skiing. That's kind of my hobby outside of drumming. So having that 15, 20 minutes away from my house, that's, I mean, kind of unheard of.
Yeah, it's a gem.
Especially in the Midwest.
Exactly.
What's the most lucrative part of your career, Patrick? Is this Bob Dylan movie going to really be a big payday, or does the current tour pay more?
You getting back-end points?
That's a good question. I need to read my contract.
Yeah, negotiate for that.
But no, I mean, I feel like this tour, this is the most like consistent work I've had my whole life. Like I'm guaranteed a year of work plus more. They're already booking year two, year three for this tour, which is awesome. Will I stay out the whole time? Who knows?
Right.
You know, you have to weigh all the options. But, you know, I feel like that's a thing in the industry is it's all freelance work. So you never really know where that next thing is coming or how long it's going to last. And being on tour is probably the safest place I can be right now at this age, because Broadway shows open and close, you know, within months. Some do. And you never know.
So this particular show,
a whole bunch.
Yeah, this particular show started in Broadway at the Niederlander Theater and then obviously moved to a tour. And did you just stick with the show? You know, you started with Broadway and then you stuck with the traveling tour. Is that what most people do?
Kind of. So when it was on Broadway, I was a sub for it. So there's a drummer that holds the chair.
Okay.
And, you know, you play eight shows a week on Broadway, eight shows a week on tour. And so no one usually plays that full eight because that's a very demanding schedule. And so on Broadway, you have subs where, like, you know, your friends or people you know or people you're well connected with that trust your playing will call you to come and cover the show for them. So basically for this show, they sent me the music and a recording of the show and I had to learn it with no rehearsals. And then the first time I had to play it was a show on Broadway. So I was subbing on that. And then when it was announced the tour was happening, you know, I expressed interest and then I had a good relationship with the music director and then he asked me to do it. So now I'm the full-time chair for this. So like on the tour, so I'm doing the eight a week. And then when I need to take time off, I'll fly a sub out. But yeah.
What a cool way to see the country. What different cities have you toured in?
We started tech up in Providence, Rhode Island. We were there for about a month.
That's when you're just kind of doing tech and doing the practicing and getting ready for the show.
Yeah. Getting all the lights and all the sound dialed in. Where else? We hit Virginia. We hit Nashville. Nashville is where we had our opening because both the composers for the show are Nashville artists, because it's kind of like more of a country style musical genre wise.
Cool. That's where to go then. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good hit there. And then we were down in Texas for about a month.
When you're in Nashville, do you get to go out on Broadway and like hang out a little bit or not?
Yeah. Broadway's a little too crazy for me. I walk down it. I'm like, this is cool, but I'm more of the, let's find the dive bar.
Sure.
Let's sit down. But yeah, I mean, during the week, there's a lot of free time to work on other projects or just to explore the cities we're in, which is a cool thing to be able to do.
Very cool. So what are your goals in your career out of here? I mean, you hope to do this for the rest of your career touring, or is there something else?
I don't think I could tour for the rest of my life, at least like these really elongated tours. I think now is like a perfect time for it. But my goal is to just be able to work full time in New York as a freelance, you know, whether that's having my own Broadway chair, working with different artists and kind of doing those, I don't want to say shorter tours, but different, more of the artist tour stuff, like the one I did with Clay and Ruben, and studio work. I love doing studio work, recording and stuff like that. I've been able to do a good amount of that, which has been nice.
Do you consider, do you primarily consider yourself a musician? Because you've acted, you've been in shows, but you're primarily a musician, right?
Primarily a musician. I wouldn't say I'm an actor. I wouldn't really put that on the resume, but you know,
I can
make a face on camera.
Yeah. So like, but as a studio artist, you're playing for some well-known artists, I would assume, right? Who have you played for?
Well, I mean, the first one I ever did was them Cooley Boys, and that was in, we recorded that in over in Minneapolis, but they're an Eau Claire based band, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't done like any huge, huge artists. A lot of just bands that I've worked with before, they've, you know, I've been able to record remote or go in the studio. I've done a couple recordings for an older composer named Gary Friedman. He's done a lot in New York, like off-Broadway shows, and he's done a lot of compositions, and he's kind of been calling me to go into the studio and record drum tracks over songs he's recorded 30, 40 years ago. So that's always a fun process.
Yeah. Is Shucked going to be coming to the Grand Theater at all?
Probably not for a couple years.
Yeah, all right. We're going to wait, work our way into that.
The shows that go there are normally like non-union tours. So they're only there for a day or two.
Right.
But yeah, this is its first year out. So it's more of the shortest time we do in a city is a week.
All right.
So we kind of hit the bigger markets first.
Yeah, stumble into Wausau at some point. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so wrapping up here, last question. Sam's or Angelo's?
Sam's.
Sam's.
Oh, yeah. All right. Very definitive, Patrick. Yeah. I agree, by the way.
Well, we've got Sister Act on the resume here. We've got Million Dollar Quartet, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jersey Boys.
We've got Mamma Mia. Then we've got the Great Gatsby, Shucked currently, Ruben Studdard, Clay Aiken, all that kind of stuff. But our favorite, Paul, I think you're in tune with this.
Yeah.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, one of my favorites. Yes.
Hey, what a
resume.
Play. I love that show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that has been to the Grand in one form or another over the years. So, well, Patrick Phelan, thanks for coming on the Wausau Business Show. It's been a pleasure and good luck in your career.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Catch Patrick in the Timothy Chalamet, Bob Dylan, Oscar-nominated movie of the year out now called A Complete Unknown. Hopefully winning an Oscar this weekend.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, thanks for stopping by. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Patrick
Phelan, IV, everybody.
To the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausonians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
Why should your business consider Incredible Bank? It's simple. We'll help you do the incredible. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a growth-focused business pro looking to expand, or a nonprofit founder dedicated to bettering your community, we have the products, services, and commitment to help you achieve your goals. Discover how we can power your success. Visit IncredibleBank.com or stop by one of our branches today. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
On a mission to finally get Wausau the Red Lobster we deserve.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cheddar biscuits have arrived. Can I get a round of applause for the cheddar biscuits?
Oh my God.
This is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Don't put my love on your back burner. Never let it hang that hot, get cold.
Dramatic, thespian-loving episode this week.
It's been nothing but drama.
Yeah. Good luck to all the candidates in the Academy Awards. It candidates? The nominees?
It's the nominees. Yeah, it would probably be more. I like candidates, though.
Yeah. Don't forget the Friend of a Friend competition online now. You can sign up. It doesn't matter who you are or where you work. You can be a business, an individual, a group of people. If you want to win $10,000, all you got to do is recruit the most people to live and work in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. WausauBusiness.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Strongbridge Wealth Advisors and Greenfire Builders of the Future. So until next week, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
Wait, where are we broadcasting? High atop.
Oh, that old place.
Yeah.
From high atop Rib Mountain.
Yes.
The end.
Yeah.
All right.
So I ain't aware. It's a lighthouse. I've been down with you. You've been down with me. We know this ain't all talk. I've been down with you. You've been down with me. We know this ain't all talk. I'm on a quest, Lord. Learn my roots. Think that black dog.
Dies hast du in Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz reserviert 2025.
Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center in downtown Wausau with great restaurants, Char Grillhouse, Lemongrass, Chow, Jalapenos, great pizza at Polito's, subs at Jimmy John's, food and drinks at the Pinery Coffee Shop, unwind at the Chocolate Cafe, stop by Forward Beverage, massages at the Reflexology Center, shop at Magnolia Soap and Bath, Isaac's Fine Apparel, Tanya's Bridal, get a trim at Modern Gents, find something classy at Campbell Haynes, plan your special event at the Jefferson Street Inn. Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center, downtown Wausau.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Ukrainian President Zelensky left a White House meeting with President Trump abruptly after the two leaders had a tense shouting match. Trump telling Zelensky he needed to be more grateful for U.S. support.
You're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing.
Reaction to the historic meeting has been swift. Retired Democratic politician Leon Panetta said,
I think it was a terrible and disturbing moment to have the president and the vice president having a shouting match with an ally who's fighting to save democracy in Ukraine.
A completely different response from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country.
So far, Russian President Putin has been mum about what went down, but the BBC's Steve Rosenberg in Moscow tells us,
you can just